Tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by Texture. Texture is the app that allows you to read all of your favorite magazines exactly like you'd see them on the newsstand in one place. Rob, as a podcast listener, can get a 14-day free trial when you go to texture.com/RHAP. That's 14 days of all of your magazines in one place with Texture for free when you go to texture.com/RHAP.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back, and that's how you use a vote advantage, Stephen Fishback.
Yeah, what a well, it didn't actually matter, right?
I mean, I think it mattered. I think that was exactly textbook. Take a note or two from Debbie, Stephen.
We'll sort of play it kind of purposelessly, but at a fraught moment.
Well, don't get voted out. That helped. She did good
with
that.
That's the problem with these advantages. It's like, either you play it purposefully or you're screwed anyway and you burn it, or you go home with the advantage. It's so hard to play perfectly.
Yeah, it's tricky. We'll talk about that. Hey, could we say that Cochran actually screwed over Ozzy again?
By kidding.
Is that possible?
That was good.
It never ends. Okay.
This is a sad episode for any Ozzy fans out there. I just was writing up my blog, and
it's a sad episode for a lot of people for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. But Ozzy is a Survivor icon.
Yeah.
He has played more days in the game.
He was my winner pick, Steven.
What?
He was my winner pick.
That's crazy. He has won more individual challenges than any other player in the show's history.
He also broke another record tonight, Steven. He becomes the first player in Survivor history to be voted out five times. The Five-Timers Club.
More seasons than he's been on, he's been voted out.
Yeah. And he made and the crazy final thing is he was a finalist. Tribal Council one.
Yeah. Of course, we mean because he was voted out three times in South Pacific if there's anyone out there who was not aware of this hilarious statistic.
Yeah. Crazy. And really, I thought we had everything going in a very nice direction. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Let's get into the part where Suri takes over this whole game. And then everything just went haywire. A lot to talk about. Oh, yeah, there was a first hour of this show as well. So.
There was a merge.
Yeah, there was a merge episode of the good call, CBS. I like what you're thinking with the two-hour episode.
The double up. That was the right move.
That was a good call.
Because it all seemed kind of mergey. You know, the first merge episode was kind of a dud.
Right.
It's like, is it Haley or is it Michaela?
Thank you. Thank you for sparing the world a lackluster Survivor Know-It-Alls. Instead, we have a lot to talk through here tonight. And so we're taking your questions. Hashtag RHAP. Steven, we've got a great recap in addition to double exit interview with Haley and Ozzy coming up, respectively, Nicole and my winner pick. My winner pick goes further this season. So I will have a double exit interview, and then I will be talking with somebody who really can relate to this type of situation, Tyson Apostle, a very Tyson-esque token teens boot tonight for Ozzy.
Misses that immunity.
Tyson actually won this immunity with you guys, right? But then the next immunity he misses on, they go after him. But it's right in that spot, right around, right after the merge. We don't know when this guy's going to be vulnerable again. So, of course, Tyson has connections with Brad as well. He knows a thing or two about WWMD. So excited to talk with Tyson on the podcast tomorrow. We'll also do voicemails with Tyson. But also, I will have a bonus podcast in the next couple of days. Also, I'll also check in with Natalie Anderson this week. So a lot of of stuff coming up on the podcast.
That's a good one. Okay? That's a good one. What are you thinking? What were you thinking with Ozzy as your winner pick? Well, I mean, I'm sure you explained that.
Yeah.
But tell me, you know.
Yeah, that I feel like that the reasoning of Ozzy, I feel like a lot of people sort of like, just like you're saying, a lot of people had soured on Ozzy, like, Ozzy can't win.
Right.
And I felt like that
we were right.
Had gone too far with Ozzy, and I felt like that, yes, he would still win immunity challenges, and that he sort of has a reputation of a guy that, he's got a lousy social game. He can't win.
Right.
And I think people forget that he was in a position where he lost to an all-time great by one vote. And then also, had he made the final tribal council in South Pacific, he still would have won that game.
One like fish puzzle away from winning South Pacific. The crazy thing is, and I write about this in my blog a little bit, is that, you know, Ozzy, this episode sounded exactly like Ozzy and Cook Islands. I'm a provider. You can't vote me out. You know, you'd be a fool to vote me out. I'm a provider. Like,
yeah.
20 seasons later, you know, this is the growth thing for Ozzy, right? It's like, move past this provider thing. Stop relying on that. Don't even think about that. He brought it up like 3 times tonight.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that, boy, Ozzy has learned so much from the first time around with his exit here tonight. We've talked about from the first season of Survivor, from Richard Hatch. He realized, I'm catching fish for these people, and they're still trying to vote me out.
Right. It has never been, right, that's exactly right. It's never been that helpful to be a provider. They will still vote you out, and they will vote you out faster because you're a provider.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate to not say. The one positive I'll take away is that Ozzy and Suri got on the same page by the end of this thing.
So that was some healing. That was nice.
That was a feel-good moment in terms of Ozzy going home. But really, let's just go back to the beginning here, because Steven, I was feeling like, okay, here we go. The whole first hour was all about, okay, Suri, I want to get my chess pieces together.
Right.
I'm going to take Michaela under my wing. We're going to get the 2 African-American women to the final tribal council. It's never happened before. Here we go. The story of Suri coming out and winning this game. Suri winner at it is happening. And amazing. So we start this plan of Suri says, Sierra Dawn Thomas, she's running things over there. She's running Brad Culpepper. And then that's where, you know, he's, and Brad Culpepper's got Troy Zan. We got to cut off the head of the snake. And I'm, let's do that. All right, here we go.
Cut it off. Let's get rid of that head.
I've been waiting, and here we go. And then Zeke, who you and I both admire the game, and the guy knows the game, did one of the best exit interviews we've ever had in terms of, like, here's what I was thinking here. So there's got to be more to this story, because I don't know why he is going rogue and going off and saying, you know what, that's not the big move I want to make.
Right. I have a few thoughts about that. And the first thought is that, The story we're being presented on air, you know, you got this big group and this big group. That's not really the thing that's happening on the beach, right? Like, on the beach, you have like 60 different iterations of like multiple different alliances. And like, maybe they roughly break into a few rough groups. But I would bet that every single person on that beach is going to divide those alliances differently. And, you know, maybe, you know, people perceive these power structures, you know, through totally different lenses. So the first thing I want to say is, like, I doubt that, like, this, like, group A versus group B, and like Zeke was in group B and now he's in group A thing. You know, I don't even think that's happening.
You've said many times, like, on the beach at the merge in Survivor Cambodia, there was no way a television show could have possibly depicted all of the, you know, hundreds of conversations going on. They just had to pick a couple and run with it. So you know, the disclaimers out there, obviously way more complicated than we could possibly get in, you know, 15 minutes of actual conversation that we saw about this. That being said, I'm not sure what Zeke's plan was. We never got that. At least in Millennials versus Gen X, we saw Zeke said, okay, you know what? David Wright is the person I need to worry about. I'm going to pick up these pawns. We're going to vote out David tonight. And that was the big move.
Right.
I don't know necessarily. He talked about Andrea. He talked about Suri. And he talked about, you know, picking up Ty and Debbie. But I don't really know what his group was going to be moving forward. But
I actually think it's, I mean, so I you know, I definitely think Zeke made a move too fast, even before the David move. I think voting out Chris was too soon in millennials versus Gen X. But, you know, like he said, you know, it was a totally different situation where millennials versus Gen X, Zeke was in charge. He had the power position. Here he's being treated like a pawn. You know, he says it a few times, like, I'm not getting any information. I'm getting it through you guys. You know, he feels like he's just being used as a number, and he can see these sort of like power groups forming. You've got this Brad and Sierra group. You've got this Andrea Suri group. And he's thinking, like, you know, you're saying the Ty and the Debbie of it all, right? There's still those outsiders. There's him, right? There's Aubrey, maybe. I mean, there's maybe like Sarah, who seems to be between the groups. There's, you know, Ty and Debbie. Like, that's a third faction. And I'm so sympathetic to that. That is literally exactly what I wanted to do in Cambodia, and then exactly what blew up in my face in Cambodia, was like, take the bottom from all the groups and like form a third group. That's your group that you get to have. Now, it's interesting that like the reason that doesn't happen is because on the one hand, Debbie doesn't want to be part of someone else's group. She wants it to be Debbie's group. And then on the other hand, you have Sierra, who doesn't trust him because it's so outrageous a plan. It's like too big a plan for him to pitch.
You know, I think it's interesting this season with these game changers. I do think that the idea of the theme of game changers has gone to everybody's head.
Yes.
Every single person, there's too many cooks in this kitchen. Every single person is
You did not just do that to me.
Yeah, I did.
Oh no.
Every single person is well, that's not what my master plan is. And everybody is just like, no, this is my story. I'm picking up all of these pawns, and nobody is willing to stick to the plan that somebody else makes. It's like, no, I'm not going with your plan. I have my own plan that I'm trying to do.
But I think that's what makes it such compelling TV and also such bad gameplay, right? I mean, I'm not saying that Zeke necessarily I don't think it's necessarily such a bad move here for him. I mean, it doesn't work out, obviously. You know, is that sense of everyone is scrambling to get into the best position at any given time. Now, I think we can agree it's too soon for Zeke. 12 is too soon.
I just don't know necessarily. Like, I get the big picture. He's trying to play the little finger game. You know, he wants to start, you know, he talks about the war. The war is coming, but I want to start the war my way. I want to create this chaotic situation that I feel like that I can control. Ultimately, he can't. He doesn't have the pawns in play. I felt like that then. I thought it was a bad move for the Andrea and Suri side to be targeting Zeke at that point.
Why?
Because then what's their plan moving forward? Okay, yes, Zeke told the other side that what the plan was. You can't trust Zeke, but is Zeke more against you necessarily than the Brad and Sierra side of things?
Like, yes, because Zeke is the one who's you know, Sierra from her perspective is running everything, right? You know, you see Sierra say, "I've got," you know, it's a one big group, and Haley and Michaela are outsiders, and then you see Sierra approach Suri, right? Sierra goes to Suri and tells her, "Hey, Zeke brought up Andrea's name or whatever. Breeks, you know, Yeah, you vote out the person who's targeting you, not the person who's not targeting
you. I thought it was an emotional decision to go after Zeke because what are their numbers at that point? They're picking off people who were in their own alliance to what, then just be at the mercy of the Brad and Sierra side? There was no way that Andrea, who knew Zeke from before this game even started, there was no way that they said, well, let's just like back this up a second. What are we doing here? Like, let's fix this.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I just think trust is so hard to come by on Survivor. And it's like, you suspect everyone is out to get you. And then when you know someone is,
you can't fix anything.
I don't know. I guess you think that if everyone gives you an idol, that'll fix it.
Well, look, an idol will fix things. But there's, I just believe that you can't mend a fence where it's like, hey, let's just think big picture here. Slow down. Zeke, what are you doing? You know, and they're going, and then to the point where then they're just like, oh, okay, good. Well, Brad and Sierra and Sierra, or I should start saying now Sierra and Brad, because it was certainly presented to us tonight that it was Brad was nowhere to be seen in the second hour. Brower. Yeah. He went Purple Brad on us tonight after being everywhere in the pre-merge, and it was much more that Sierra is running that side of things.
Yeah, that was very interesting how it was like totally the absence of Brad.
I think that maybe not getting food at the merge didn't sit well with him. He just like was really checked out after
that.
He just
totally gassed out, yeah.
But then it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, Sierra will just do whatever she wants on her side. And then all of a sudden, Debbie comes along with, hey, why don't we vote on Ozzy tonight? They're, that whole side, it's like, okay, great. Yeah, well, why don't we take off the strongest player from that side of things? Like, they didn't call off the war just because that side couldn't get along.
But is it so clear? So here's my question to you, right? We haven't really seen anything from, like, the Sierra, Debbie, Brad side that's like that frames it in terms of these two sides. And maybe they just think, hey, let's take out Ozzy. He's a super strong, incredible physical competitor, and we have an opportunity now. Like, they might not see it as this, like, you know, big chess game between, like, these two different sides. They might see it from a completely different perspective, and they're thinking, and Ozzy seemed to be a part of that group, right? We see Ozzy talking to Brad a lot. You know, we know Ozzy had a relationship with Brad and Sierra back in, you know, the first Nuku, whatever they were. You know, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that that group conceives of Ozzy as part of it and then is like, hey, we've got an opportunity. And, you know, I thought the way Debbie sold it was really, really smart. It was this last minute thing, you know, and I know that on the beach on these merges, you know, it's just a cycle. Like, everyone's name comes up, you know, then it switches to somebody else. Then it switches to somebody else. And Debbie just kind of sold it at the last minute. You know, she went person to person. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And it got done.
It got done. Steven, what a night for Debbie. I feel like that. Did you give out one fishy in a 2-hour episode? Or do you give out like a first hour?
Two
fishies?
Three, really. This
three
time,
fishies. Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, three. Yeah,
boy,
yeah.
You're giving them away, like totally devaluing the fishy economy.
Well, I didn't give out one last week, so you know I needed to up the
just to keep it out there. Yeah, but Debbie was really going back to the merge feast. Were you buying that Debbie did not drink, or was that the thing? Or is that the thing? Is this the new move on Survivor? You get as drunk as you want, and then in the confessional, you say, "Oh, did you think I was drunk?" Oh, you totally fell for it. I didn't have a sip of alcohol. I was playing everybody.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that on Survivor where, like, whatever happens, they're like, all part of my master plan, you know? But with Debbie, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I want somebody to come through the exit interviews and be like, oh, you thought I didn't know about getting blindsided? Like, oh, I knew. Yeah. I'm just trying to set up my game for when I am a returning player. Like, this was all part of my plan.
Well, that's the Zane strategy, right? Make them target me now and then, you know.
Yeah. So the move to get Ozzy out here, Steven, you applaud that move? That was the correct decision?
I think so. I mean, you know, he's not super tight with you. Like, I guess if he's going to be a part of an alliance, it's the other alliance. He's obviously a hugely physical competitor. To your point, you know, he could slip in as a winner. And it was almost like because no one seemed to be worried about Ozzy, Ozzy was the correct person to worry about.
Yeah. And Ozzy, I do think that there is some wisdom in what he's doing where that he really does, I think, look at things as very binary, my people and their people.
Right.
And if there are enough of his people on the jury, they will all vote for him in the end, just like at Sabai versus Apollo. So he does have that going for him where he keeps his people very loyal to him. So who knows if he would have gotten to the end if he would have had enough.
Not in this case.
Not in this case. Certainly not.
Yeah.
So to take Ozzy out in this spot, it just seems to me, was that the right pick? Yes, he is an immunity threat, but he clearly was not running the strategic operations over there.
Right. But who is? I mean, I guess you could say, I guess Suri is, except, you know, suddenly she's being targeted by Zeke. You know, that's my thing. Like, it's like there's so many, like, how do you even begin to say? I guess Suri, right? I guess Suri would be the other person to target. That would be the correct person. But you don't see them worrying about her. And I think that's Suri's strength is that, you know, I mean, even when she approached Sierra in that hammock, she did it so deferentially, you know, that there's, and, you know, she managed to change Sierra's opinion about putting votes on Haley instead of Michaela. And, even so, she did it so subtly and deferentially that nobody probably even knew she was doing it. And what was incredible about that vote, and I know we'll talk about that later, but was that, I mean, will we? Was that
we will.
All the people who wanted to save Michaela voted for Michaela. The people who voted out Haley were all the people who wanted to vote out Michaela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll get to the first tribal council in a little bit more detail. What do you think about Suri on top of everything is doing some business with a hinky vote there, Stephen? Did she put in that weird vote for Sierra?
What?
So Suri, when she votes at the second tribal council, we have a vote for Sierra.
Oh, yeah.
That's sort of like in like a calculator LED type font. When she votes, she says, I'm going to spice things up a little bit.
I thought that that was that they thought that that was a consensus vote. I think they thought everyone was voting out Zeke, and then they just got totally blindsided. So I guess there must be two sides, right? Because certain people were left out of the Aussie vote. So they must conceive of it as two sides, right? Because the people who all voted for Zeke did not know to vote for Aussie.
Yeah. So how many votes did we ultimately get? Were there six votes for Aussie? So
It was 12 people. Yeah. 6 votes for Ozzy. No, 13 votes,
yeah,
right?
6 votes for Ozzy, 4 votes for Zeke. And then we also had a...
And then the extra vote for Ozzy probably too, right?
Maybe we got to 6 and then...
you had Aubrey and Sierra as well.
Yeah, maybe...
Because Zeke voted for Aubrey.
Maybe we had the 7th Ozzy vote potentially. And yeah, then Jeff that's didn't, the, Jeff didn't was, read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessary.
So that 6 then would be Brad, Sierra, Ty, Debbie, Troy-Zan, and Sarah.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
She talked about
a pretty strong 6.
She talked about how she's in the middle, and then on the other side, Zeke, Andrea, Suri, Ozzy, and Michaela, right?
Aubrey. Yeah. You know, but Zeke votes for Aubrey.
Yeah. So Zeke, that there must have been some sort of a confrontation where they let Zeke know, Zeke, what are you doing? Like, he knew the jig was up, obviously. And
well, they tease that in the next episode, right?
Well, I think so. I think that maybe that side, or maybe the Sierra side told him, maybe they didn't tell him that he was exposed, but that the Sierra side, no, let's do Aubrey tonight.
Right,
that's
right,
who
right.
we want to vote off next. And he went along with that plan. So really now we'll see what that side, if it holds. I mean, is there any hope for getting any reconciliation, Stephen?
I mean, I guess you're right that like they would, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I think you're right that it's more and more important, you know. And to some degree, right, like Andrea and Sri are at fault here for not making Zeke feel like he was included and was a powerful voice in their alliance, right? Like he feels like an unnecessary number, and that's on them for not making him feel needed. And I get it. Like, you know, you have so much politicking to do with all these people. There's 13 people. Sometimes you just think like, I'm going to let that one go. I know that one's solid. And actually, it's like interesting. I mean, I hate to bring this up again, but, you know, Andrea is just, you know, I know I'm good with Zeke, so I don't even need to worry about Zeke. That really is how I was with Spencer. And that ended up biting me in the butt in the exact same way, where he was like, Fishback never talks to me. What the heck? And in the same way, Zeke is like, Andrea never talks to me. What the heck? You know, and I think that's the danger. That's like the danger of knowing people out of the game or really, you know, your own limited perspective of like the people you think are the most solid are often the people you have to worry about the most.
So you feel like a lot of this blame lies with Andrea, that she had the pregame relationship with Zeke. There have a friendship that goes beyond the game, and Andrea may have just felt like, okay, I'm good with Zeke. I don't need to sort of like really foster that relationship. And Zeke was feeling that, you know, I'm just sort of a pawn in this side.
I'll bet that's exactly what happened. And you know, it's those out of game relationships that really mess with you, because, you know, people's expectations are totally different based on them. Whereas, you know, if you just know someone from within the game, you can think about how they're thinking about things based on your interaction in the game.
Do you lay all of this at the feet of Andrea? I mean, we saw Suri take aside Michaela, have a whole conversation with her. That was anybody else doing that with Zeke from that side?
Right. I guess, I mean, like, as Andrea and Ceree, right? It's, but, you know, Zeke goes after Andrea. There must be a reason that it's Andrea and not Ceree, right? I mean, like you said, he's friends with Andrea. You know, there must be some sort of feeling of, you're leaving me out. I'm feeling betrayed by you here.
Yeah. Just to compare it to the millennials versus Gen X, I just don't know what Zeke was ultimately planning on once he got Ceree and Andrea out of the game.
Right. Right. What's the next?
I don't know what that next flip was. Maybe he felt like that he has still had, he had Ty, he had Debbie, he had Sarah Lucina. And but then you still have Brad and Sierra and Troyzan.
But he goes to Sierra and pitches this idea. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the way, like, if he got the Ty and Debbie faction, like, that's an interesting move. Going to Sarah, I'm sorry, Sierra. To Sierra is becomes more of, you know, a Candace move, you know, of like, let me flip from where I am in my alliance to the bottom of another alliance. But I would be really interested to hear what, you know, what Zeke thinks, because like you said, he's incredibly astute game player. You know, all of his confessionals tonight were so intelligent and interesting. You know, I love that one at the second tribal council where he was making the point of, you have to let people think they can beat you. You know, if someone doesn't think they can beat you, they're not going to want to go to the end with you. I thought that was such a great point to make. And, you know,
yeah.
Obviously relevant.
It's this conversation that we have all the time about perception and how, and being able to see how other people are perceiving you, and, you know, sort of being conscious of that perception that you're putting back out there. That I had a great chat with Boston Rob one time about this very subject. I'm just so confused about where Zeke was ultimately going on that side. Steven, yeah. In terms of, if you are an enemy combatant, and you come to the other side with sort of important intel of, yeah, hey, I know that we don't have any sort of real working relationship, maybe outside of the first 6 days of this game. How can Zeke foster that relationship with Sierra Dawn Thomas to let her know that this is not a trick?
I don't. Well, it's funny. Like, I wrote it in my blog that, you know, it's almost like this plan that Zeke is pitching is so outrageous that it couldn't be a lie. You know, like, if Zeke were actually lying to Sierra Dawn Thomas, he would never come and pitch a lie about voting out Andrea. It's too outrageous. So it has to be true. But I think, you know, day 20, it's really hard, or whatever it is. Day 24 or
you think it's day 24. They talk about 15 days left.
I think it's impossible really to form completely new bonds and relationships, especially when the tribes have swapped multiple times. You know, there's a lot of varied relationships. I think it's really hard to form something new.
Yeah. All right, Steven, do you want to touch on the first hour with the Haley and the Michaela situation, which I thought was really going to set the stage for tonight, but only really in that Ceree was sort of just getting warmed up in that first hour. Michaela really did not factor into the second hour.
Yeah, and it was a great scene. I mean, really great scene between Ceree and Michaela, like, where she's just, you know, telling Michaela to be cool. Or I think be easy were her words.
Right.
That was fantastic. What did you think of the merge feast twist?
I didn't love it. I have to say, I felt like that maybe there could have been a more interesting way to handle it. Like, I like the thinking. I thought that this is fun to sort of have like some sort of a dilemma, but then I felt like it sort of opened the door for somebody to become a martyr, like a Brad Culpepper, where somebody is like able to sort of like spin it as a positive. Where, and it's funny that he says WWMD, because I feel like Monica Culpepper would have done the same exact thing. So that is an instance where he would have played like her. And then, you know, Ty also follows in that martyrdom. But I thought it would have been a, you know, nobody was really like had anything to lose other than the merge feast. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's exactly why it's terrible, right? As soon as you do something like that, everyone's like, oh, look, he's petitioning, campaigning for jury votes. Got to get that guy out, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's a lose-lose situation.
And that's the reason why, you know, going back to Survivor of the Amazon, where, you know, Mateo gave his family visit to us.
He felt like a god.
He felt like a god. And I had said, like, oh, well, now we got to get rid of this guy, you know, patron saint of immunity challenges or reward challenges. So there is a downside that's associated with that. What if they would have voted and they voted somebody out of the – or would that have just like tipped off the overall vote? But you had to vote from somebody from the other side. So you had the two tribes
show. Yeah, that could be fun.
And you're voting.
So you just vote for the person you think is going to eat the most.
Yeah. So I like the idea, but I feel like that we didn't really – ultimately, it didn't cause any friction with anybody.
I don't know. I just give them a break. Give them the feast. It doesn't – I don't think it added that much. Just give the guys the feast. It's such an iconic moment. I hear what you're saying. It reminded me of this sort of, Survivor Calvin Ball thing that seems to be happening where it's like, and this crazy thing is happening next. Mm-hmm. I have to say, Brad Culpepper volunteering – Brad is a really nice guy. And I was actually just reading this this article that Mario Lanza from the Funny Whiff 115 wrote about how actually, like, if you actually watch Blood versus Water, where Brad has this like terrible reputation, that everything Brad does is actually decently nice, and it just gets like spun and twisted by people who for some reason have a vendetta against him. But Brad himself is like nice and positive and supportive, and like the actual guy himself is just like 100% upbeat, except that Candace hates him like irrationally.
And Jervis's niece.
Well, right, and Jervis's niece, yeah.
Yeah.
But
so you're saying that Brad Culpepper has just been misunderstood after all this time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find an opportunity to link to it in a blog. Just to write about what a nice guy Brad Culpepper is. But I would recommend anyone listening go look at this article that Mario wrote. I think it was called like "Thank You, Brad Culpepper." It's in the Funny 115 version 3, and it's just like it really like goes scene by scene through how Brad got this terrible reputation.
Okay, well, Brad is doing quite a bit of PR on the show this season that he doesn't even need Mario's help. That he's changing that reputation on his own.
He is, but he doesn't deserve the reputation in the first place, according to this piece.
Okay. Steven, did you get to know Brad at all during the Second Chance campaigning?
I only met him like once. We were in a car together going to a doctor's appointment to get immunizations. And
immunity.
We're not supposed to. Yeah, immunity. Exactly. And it was a guy who was just like bursting out of his skin to be social and to, but really, really nice. And, just a sweetheart.
Let's go to that tribal council conversation that we saw. And then we'll circle back to Suri and Sierra. So a very interesting moment came up at the tribal council, which I think that probably a lot of thirsty Survivor fans were going to hope was going to go a different way, where there was this notion where Jeff Probst says, like, hey, what if somebody just got naked at tribal council and then they're just like, just like strip searched. And then Haley is like, well, I'd do it. Like, but she says, I'm not going to do it unless somebody asks.
That was so, why didn't she just do it?
See, I think it was a
why
setup.
Did she make it some like weird psychodrama?
Because I think that she, then somebody would have been like, hey, I'll do it. And they're like, you pervert, you perv.
Yeah. Not get naked, but like, why not just like, hey, I just want you all to know I have nothing to hide. Turn out my pockets, empty my bag. There's no idol here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a question that I'll ask her on the exit interview of like, well, why not go through with it?
Yeah, but like it was almost worse to like tease it. Like, I felt like she was like weirdly combative too at that other tribal council that she was featured at with with
the Caleb the one or the council. Combined? Okay, the combined tribal council.
Yeah, she's like weirdly like antagonistic, and I'm obviously, I guess if like people are gunning for you, you're gonna be that's a defensible posture, but it seemed like she should be more accommodating rather than like, well, you guys have got to ask me for it. Just be like, yeah, I've got nothing to hide. Turn
yeah,
my
don't
pockets,
you want to know if somebody, if she has the idol or not? I think you could have done a move like, hey, I say we let her. Like, who said that? Who said that? Who is that? Yeah. Like, come on. And then see what happens. But, it's like good information to have. Who has the idol?
Yeah.
So, good, very, very interesting moment from a, sort of a ho-hum tribal council of, who's going out the 12th or 13th person in the power rankings.
Yeah.
So let's go then go back to sort of like the politicking over who it was going to be, Michaela versus Haley, back in that first hour, where we got to see Ciri and Sierra Dawn Thomas sort of have that conversation about who was going to go home. Sierra Dawn Thomas ended up leaving that conversation feeling not so great about Ciri.
She was annoyed about Zeke, right?
No, well, it was later on in the second episode, she said that she felt like that Zeke talks to her like he's smarter than she is. But right. I felt like that Sierra Dawn Thomas seemed a little annoyed in terms of how Ciri was talking to her.
Like the new sheriff in town.
Yeah, I'm the new sheriff in town.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people were hard on Sierra, I saw on social media.
Why?
Because she's lying in the hammock.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't like the hammock.
Yeah.
What do you think of the hammock, Rob?
I feel like that I would probably try, if I was ever playing Survivor, I think I would all be all about just trying to put the person that I was talking to at ease. And I feel like that I would probably, you know, get out of the hammock. I was not a big hammock or, you know, yet wanting to, you know, lay down too much. I never wanted to rest.
Yeah. I think you need to get out of the hammock and get on the beach. But, you know, because there's a bad perception if you have people coming to you and you kind of like legislating from the hammock. That's a bad look. I get why Sierra would be annoyed at Ciri in that, you know, from there. Like you've just like, you know, she says there's a lot of people. It's a lot of freaking wrangling, you know, to like, you know, 13 people to get everyone into a consensus vote. That's a lot of work. I would probably. And then someone's like, you know what? I want to change it. Obviously, Ciri has very good reason for doing that. But from Sierra's perspective, like you can easily see why you'd be like.
Yeah. See, before we get into the questions, let's just look forward for a moment. Zeke, Andrea, Ciri, and Michaela on that side. And Aubrey, is there anything that this group can do? Are they just like going to be like sniping at each other to try to save face down 6-5, I mean, potentially in the numbers?
The way that we've seen these past few seasons play out, you know, no big alliance has actually hung tough together, you know, from this point in the merge forward. So I have every expectation that things are going to be completely flipped on their head over the next few weeks.
Okay. So can they, even though they're infighting though, like that we don't normally have this kind of situation where the group that is in the minority is right. also really
it's bickering amongst
really
themselves.
Angry
That's a really good
with
point.
That with themselves. They're sort of like a lot yeah. of times they're sort of like, hey, we can do this. It's us against them. They kind of all hate each other right now.
Right. Zeke is furious at Andrea. You know, Michaela is hotheaded anyway.
Yeah, I don't know who she would be yeah. mad at in that group, but she can
probably
get,
someone.
She can
yeah.
get loud too, as someone once said.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But if anyone can pull it off, it's Ciri.
Anybody could. Yeah, that it would be Ciri. And it's a question to see how tight Sarah was with these people. Could they get her
right.
back into the
Both
fold?
Sides.
Yeah. Did they, yeah. did you know, going back to Survivor Kagiyan, we talk about, you know, Sarah was famously in the middle at that merge vote way back
right.
when. Everybody was fighting for her. She seemed to be a forgotten person tonight. It seemed to
yeah.
be that nobody was, people, again, talking about taking somebody for granted. It seemed like that there was no concern over where Sarah Lucina's vote was going tonight.
Well, it seemed like everyone thought she was on that she was on their side. And I'll be very interested, you know, after this tribal where, you know, Ciri just assumed Sarah was a number, right? When they weren't even like, oh, yeah, we got Sarah and you know, Andrea and me and, you know, those were solid there. And Sarah voted against Ozzy, you know, so I will be very curious if that comes up at all.
Okay. Steven, anything else that you could think of from this episode to discuss or you want to get into some questions?
Yeah, one other thing, legacy advantage, still useless, still a pointless advantage in this game.
Yeah, well, Sierra Dawn Thomas said I'm going to, you know, save it for Final Six, maybe.
Well, it would have been ridiculous for her to play in Final 13. I mean, it's a stupid advantage. It's so it's like situational times 100. It's like you can only have these two tribal councils only if the person who happens to have it.
Survivor 35, should there be a legacy advantage or do they need to tweak the rules more?
I think it's a salvageable premise, but I think it's so situational now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about when players realize there's such a thing as the legacy advantage? I've always said with it that why I don't like it is because Jeff doesn't say it's in the game. There's no sort of thought about. So who here has the legacy advantage? Who has it? I think Zeke has it. I think Andrea has it. I think Brad has it. Let's vote Brad out because I think he has the legacy advantage.
And he might give it to me. And if it had like a set power that was something, it's hard. I mean, I think there needs to be some tweak, but I don't think it's. And look, maybe the legacy advantage is explosively powerful at the final six tribal council. That does not make it a good twist.
Right. It would make it worse if it really tipped the scales of something that we didn't even know about the whole season ends up changing everything. If you got to, the final four at Tokachin's and all of a sudden, Erin had this thing in her backpack the whole season she found on the bus on the first day.
On day one. Yeah. I've been playing this game for 38 days.
She wins now.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's not good. But what I do like about it is this idea that it gets passed around and the idea of people being targeted because they have it or don't have it and suspicion. So that's the thing I do like about it. I hope that eventually we can make that a part of it if we keep it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Steven. So let's get into some of the questions from tonight. Scott St. Pierre.
What if other people could choose, if you discovered the power to choose the power of an advantage in the game that someone else had? Okay, never mind. All right, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right.
All
right, Steven, why don't you take the first question?
Yeah. All right, Scott Schiffer wants to know, has anyone before Ty ever had three idols at once? Does Ty have three idols? No, he has two, right?
He has found three idols, but he did use one on Sierra Don Thomas. So he currently has
two. He has two
idols. If he found a third idol, then he would potentially have three idols. Right. But
a couple of people have had two idols.
Yes. Will there be another idol hidden at this merge, Steven? Is there an idol hidden in that camp?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
You don't think that we won't have an idol played? Troy Zan still has his idol. I don't think that we've ever had more than three idols in the game
in
simultaneously.
Play. Yeah, you're probably right.
I think that we have to, if one of Ty's idols or Troy Zan's idol gets played, then we'll have a another third idol potentially. I don't even know at a certain point if they want more than three idols in the game.
Yeah, it's a lot, but the problem is when they're bunched with so people like Ty and Troy. I mean, Ty, if multiple one person has multiple idols. I mean, it's interesting, but you want idols to be played.
I feel like post-merge, I feel like the max that they would start replenishing the idols is when there's less than two. I think that they have two idols in the game. I think three is a lot
mystery.
At the merge, and I think that if one idol
a little
gets
intrigue,
played, we won't.
A little mystery and intrigue.
Yeah. All right. Debbie's evil twin tweets to me a lot and says, Ozzy may never win Survivor, but he's rejuvenated his reputation enough to be a spokesman for Old Spice. Has that happened, Steven?
Ozzy could be a spokesman for anything.
He certainly could be. I don't know if Ozzy's reputation necessarily was neutral. I don't think that you bought or sold Ozzy's stock based on this season.
Yeah.
Unless you say that Ozzy, that this is it four times. He should never come back. I mean, is there any mystery left for Ozzy fifth time? Is there any hope?
Yeah, I'd like to see middle-aged Ozzy who after
Cochran
he had a few years.
Cochran called him middle-aged Ozzy 4 years ago.
Oh, that's funny. Well, youth's perception of age is very different.
Actually 5 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. If Ozzy worked in a corporate job for a couple years and then came back, I think that would be fun. Ozzy, a little bit different.
A little bit different Ozzy. Okay.
Because the four Ozzys we've seen have all been wonderful, and I love Ozzy, but I'd like to see an evolution.
Okay. Do you know Ozzy? Have you ever had any interactions with Ozzy?
Yeah, I hung out with him. He's great. He's a super sweet guy. Really, very chill, as you might expect. What about you? Have you hung out with Ozzy?
I've met him a couple of times, and I always feel I've always come off as a Ozzy defender on the podcast, because I feel like that people, I feel like in the internet fan community, I feel like he has a bad reputation, but I've never been...
What's the bad reputation?
That he's aloof and, arrogant, people will often be killing Ozzy, but I've
people on the internet will criticize you about anything, Rob.
Yeah,
you specifically.
Well, yes, that's especially true.
My experience of Ozzy was that he was very very contemplative, like self-critical, like really aware of the emotional impact of the things he'd experienced, and you know, wanting to like think about them on a profound cosmic plane.
Okay, let's cosmic plane.
I don't know. I was trying to end that. I was trying to elevate it. You know.
All right. Well done, sir. Noah said, "Did Debbie marinate in enough, Stephen, for your taste?"
Yeah, she seemed well pickled, huh?
She was faking it. Yeah, that was faking, Stephen.
Uh-huh. Boy, well, it was great acting.
Stephen, who had that both Ty and Debbie would show their butts tonight on Survivor?
on the
who had that?
Survivor Bingo.
Yeah, Survivor Bingo.
That's a good...
Just like back in the 80s. Oh. Remember, Stephen?
Yeah, back in the 70s, you guys weren't doing that.
I mean, Ty kept being remember, it was like back in the 80s, and there was 70s, 60s.
The 60s, yeah. It kept going back.
I don't think anybody was streaking in the 80s. I don't think that was a thing.
No, it was all suits. Melanie Bartlett wants to know, how do you think the new rule about ties played into voting strategy tonight? It's a good question.
Okay, do you think that this was at all a thing?
Well, it's interesting, right? If Debbie hadn't played her extra vote, and Ceri had voted for Zeke, it would have been a tie vote.
Yeah. So just say that one more time.
Is that right? Or no, is that wrong? I think that may be wrong, actually.
So if there were seven votes for Ozzie. No, that would have been wrong,
actually.
No, because Aubrey.
Right. Zeke
still
voted
for
Aubrey. Yeah.
So,
never mind.
Not necessarily. I mean, if it was the other way around where. They only had five votes for Ozzie and everybody on the other side was on the same page. Maybe that could have been a thing. But no, I don't think that factored in. Stephen, in the first hour when Ceri voted for Michaela, she said that I'm saving you with this vote. What did she mean by that? Like, I understand that she's like trying to say that she's going to be looking out for her, but I just felt like that was a weird thing to say when she was voting.
Yeah, I got the sense that she felt bad. Maybe she's also even thinking about the narrative on television, you know, where on the one hand, she feels like she's working to save Michaela. You know, she's trying to get the number. She's trying to make sure that the other side votes for Haley. But she also doesn't know how it's going to appear on TV. So she wants to make it really clear, like, hey, even though I'm voting for Michaela, I'm actually working to save Michaela.
Okay.
Just that sort of
don't get it twisted. It's not stabbing Michaela in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
That's good. All right. Sean Murphy says, you guys say that returnees play like a winner from their season. Is Aubrey playing like Michelle?
Yeah, sure. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think that sometimes happens. What do you think?
Yeah, that's hard to say. I mean, that the reasons why you say Michelle won, you're not really hearing people say that about Aubrey. So I would not say that, like, if you're saying, like, oh, well, Michelle didn't get a lot of screen time, so Aubrey hasn't gotten a lot of screen time, so obviously she's playing like Michelle. I think that's too simple of a comparison to make.
Right. And maybe more of like Michelle was very, you know, go with the flow, I guess. And you know, that sort of seems to be
I don't think we know enough about how Aubrey is playing to say that, to make that conclusion.
Yeah.
Edmo. Right,
Edward Morris wants to know, why is everybody so scared of Sierra?
She's the new sheriff in town.
New sheriff in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is so, you know, tell me what's happening there. Because we haven't seen a lot of Sierra and then suddenly she's running the whole thing.
Well, I think this brings up a good question in terms of that we got so much of Brad Culpepper in the pre-merge that they look like that they were a part of a team. When I talked about this with AJ Mass this week, he assigned Brad and Sierra as the marriage of convenience, and he makes one of them the alpha and one of them the beta. And I said, there's almost no argument to say right now that Brad Culpepper isn't the alpha of those two. Sometimes it's tough to tell with a pair. But tonight really painted the opposite picture where it's Sierra has Brad wrapped around her finger.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean,
Steven?
I didn't even see that. I didn't even see like Brad being wrapped around Sierra's finger. We didn't see Brad anywhere.
I mean,
like,
again, this
around
was
Sierra's finger or no.
This was Ceri's point of view on it that we heard that from Ceri. I trust Ceri's point of view, although she didn't have really the best read of the entire situation tonight, with all due respect to Ceri. Steven, I was so confused during the in the second hour where we had the reward challenge, because they kept calling it, you'll go to the Marshall's spa and go to the Marshall's reward challenge. And I was like, who's Marshall? Why do we keep calling it Marshall Reward Challenge, Marshall's, and yeah. over and over and over again. And I was like, oh, like Marshall's the store?
I think so, right?
Is the sponsor of this?
That's what I thought.
I mean, that's so wacky to me. After 34 seasons, Marshall's is like, okay, we're jumping in
time
now.
To jump in.
We're jumping in now. This is the move. Game changers. We're here. Marshall's spot.
Yeah.
And then Marshall, Steven, I know that that you shop at all these high-end stores. I've bought a few plaid shirts at Marshall's along the way. It's not a spa. It seems to be in no way reflective of what they did at the challenge. It just seemed like that was a weird product placement.
Yeah, I thought that was very strange too. I thought that was very strange, but you know, it's better than that Jack Black contest. So,
yeah,
or the Gulliver's Travels contest. Sure. So anything that beats that is or in the Jack and Jill.
Yes.
Contest.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Okay.
It's better than that.
Nicolette in the chat says they do have towels. So okay, that could be a spot. What about Christian?
Christian Esparza says, was it possible that Ozzy may have been holding back in the challenges until later? Okay. What do you think
of
that, Steven, Rob?
This is an interesting question in terms of Ozzy's gambit. Do I go all out at the immunity challenge? And ultimately, if I win, I'm safe. And if I don't, I shine a light on the fact that I am so dominant in these challenges. It was really a spotlight was put on. Ozzy's never lost this challenge before.
Yeah.
Ozzy's the king. Ozzy's the best at this. He's going to be up there and, you know, he goes tip-top toes with Ty, who manages to beat him. And I think that really did accelerate the clock on Ozzy. But if we don't get him out tonight, he may not lose another challenge. I wonder if Ozzy would have just...
He hasn't won one yet.
But I wonder if Ozzy would have just fallen off the pole early and be like, boy, that's not as easy as it used to be. They don't make those poles like they used to.
And then nobody thinks... I mean, we talked about this. So we talked about this in two contexts, right? We talked about it certainly a lot about Joe. Like, can Joe like downplay his physicality? And I've always said, absolutely not. There's no way Joe can. Interestingly, though, in Survivor Blood versus Water, Tyson sustains an injury pretty early, and he's kind of screwed in the immunity challenges going into the game after that. And I've always thought that really benefited him.
Oh, sure, like, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And he played it up too.
Yeah. And I think short of an injury, though, for Ozzy, I think everyone's still going to be, it's still going to be like, it's Ozzy. So if Ozzy like feigned a serious injury, you know, I think maybe then people will be like, oh, we don't have to worry about him. But I think shy of that, people are going to say, it's Ozzy. We have to worry about him.
It's just such a bad look for Ozzy. And I'm not second guessing, you know, Ozzy's got to be Ozzy, but he's up there for, you know, 95 minutes and everybody's just like staring there like, look at boy, we got to get this guy out.
Ugh. Well, that's the worst case scenario, right? Like for Ozzy is going so hard and coming so close and then losing. But like, I mean, if you're Ozzy in that situation, you have every expectation that you're going to win. You've won it twice before, you know, everyone is, but one person drops out after the first 30 minutes. You know, I don't, you know, the fact that Ty did it is awesome for Ty, but like just worst case scenario for Ozzy.
Yeah. Such an invitation to take a shot at him. This is from Jennifer. Did Zeke ruin his game by flipping from a solid alliance over to the bottom of Brad's alliance? Well, I mean, that was like what he was attempting to do. I don't want to say that was what he was attempting to do, but that's, you know, based on what we know, being sort of like omniscient and seeing what everybody is doing, it looked like that to us. I would guess that Zeke felt like that he was putting together
his own thing.
The problem is that there weren't that many people that were dying to work with him. Steven, is it possible that Zeke could have overestimated the amount of goodwill there was towards him from the other survivors that were at that tribal council that we saw last week, like a Debbie and like a Ty? Did he maybe feel like that? Because I talked about this on the podcast. Were those people going to be genuinely bonded because of that and feel like some that they went through some sort of like emotional experience together and maybe felt like that, you know, these people had his back?
Well, I'm sure that was part of it, but also, you know, they were on a tribe together, right? Like, even apart from that, like they've just been on a tribe in an alliance together, right? Voting together for the past couple of days, you know? I mean, I think he had every expectation of like, hey, I've got relationships with these people. And I don't even think you need to, you know, I don't think you even need to like bring the last tribal council into it at all to like to see why he might think that, you know, he had really, you know, he had these relationships, he had alliances. Like, why not think I can create a new thing with these people? Yeah. I've worked with them in this other context. Let's start something new.
Ultimately, it really didn't hold, you know, bond anybody to anything following last week's tribal council, where and especially Zeke is, you know, he's voting out. He wants to vote out Andrea, who was so great from that tribal council from a week ago. Debbie and Ty don't want to, you know, follow Zeke. Sarah Lucina, that even though she started the first episode talking about, you know, how great Zeke is, she's clearly not working with him by the end of that second episode. So it really is, you know, the survivors, even though we thought it might have been impossible, clearly, like, you know, have moved on from everything from last week.
But Sarah Lucina wasn't voting. I mean, there was a group of people voting against Zeke, and Sarah wasn't one of them.
She wasn't working. She wasn't voting with Zeke.
Well, nobody was voting with Zeke.
Well, that's, you know, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think when something like that happens, it's, you know, it's easy to lose the thread, right? I think the game is happening so fast.
But it was interesting that Zeke was mentioned as a target in the first tribal council to Michaela, that nobody has a better story than him, that we have to vote for Zeke.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely think that he's going to be in trouble long term because of that.
See, these sneaky survivors, Steven.
All right, Alex G wants to know, have we swung the pendulum away from trust clusters and now we're back to two sides going against each other? Well, the pendulum never reached trust clusters. It stopped at voting blocks.
Yes. What do you think? So what is this, Steven? Is this a new thing?
Like, I think the two sides thing is probably over. I mean, you know, this is two episodes. We've seen this two sides thing. I think it's probably overstated. Is this group of players more two sides focused because they're so bad? Maybe.
Steven, does the two sides thing need to rebrand itself?
Into what? Oh, you think it needs like a new hip name, like voting block or trust cluster?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's work on that. We'll work on that in the hashtag. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Robot Taran, are people not worried about the Korong 3 anymore? Seemingly not, right?
Yeah, it seems. I mean, I'm sure there still are, right? Like, again, like, just because we didn't see anyone talking about it in 40 minutes of TV, like, doesn't mean that issue. Like, just like Brad Culpepper
is
still.
But nobody's
on that
worried
island.
That Aubrey is working with Ty and Debbie.
Yeah, I guess that. Well, right. Maybe they're still worried, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why you know, Debbie and Ty seem to be working, you know? You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know. People worry a lot, Rob.
Okay.
Lots to worry about.
Pat Tad, if Haley showed that she had no idol, would she still be in the game? Or maybe people would think that she had an idol, but she didn't bring it. Is that possible? Could that have saved her, Steven?
No, because they had the votes to split the votes. I think Zeke made the great point. If we are voting for Haley because she has an idol, let's put more votes on Haley. You know, I think that's the move.
Okay. You know, it's funny that Sierra Dawn Thomas all of a sudden is like, Haley has an idol. She's too confident. She's saying, Sierra Dawn Thomas is saying, look, we got to split the votes between Haley and her friend, because if one of them has the idol, we're screwed. And I think it was a great plan if Sierra Dawn Thomas is still playing Survivor Worlds Apart. That would have been a good plan that time.
Wait, say that again?
That if in Survivor Worlds Apart, if Sierra and her friends would have split the votes on Haley and her friend, would have been a good idea that time. This time, Haley and her friend don't have an idol.
You learn from your mistakes, yes. You know? And actually, you know, to credit to Sierra Dawn Thomas, you know, who a lot of people, myself included, said she didn't do very much in Worlds Apart. You know, she kind of let herself drift into fifth place and was voted out fifth. And here she's taking charge. And I think, you know, that's basically what Zeke's saying, right? Like, there are so many people throughout the history of Survivor who, you know, don't make that move. And they allow themselves to be fifth or sixth in their alliance, and then they're voted off in fifth or sixth place, and they never took the opportunity to do something about that. And, you know, if you're not playing to win, like, what are you there for? You know, better to make the big move, and maybe you've got the wrong time, and maybe it'll blow up in your face, and maybe it won't, you know? And, like, I think I'm totally with Zeke on this. You know, you've got to make the move. You've got to play. And I think Sierra's doing that, too. You know, and we didn't get a lot of, like, her perspective of, you know, she had her, like, I'm new sheriff in town, but, like, I think she's going hard. And I think, you know, probably some of that is to make up for Worlds Apart, and probably some of that is just the situation of the game. And it's great. It's great to see.
Steven, it's going to be fascinating going forward that, you know, you have this group of people that voted against Ozzy tonight. The people that are not in that group, specifically Zeke, Andrea, Sari, Aubrey, you have Michaela there too. Probably if we were going to just like do a draft of like, you know, who are the best players in this group? I think that for the most part, we'd say the better players are in the minority. The better players, after tonight, have been outflanked by the people that we would say were probably the worst players or the people that don't deserve to be there. Again, those are other people's words, not mine, Steven. So,
well, no, but I think that's a great point. It's like, you know, we have these like perceptions based on how we saw someone play before as like, oh, they're bad. But like, I think a lot of these guys are playing really, really well. Like Culpepper, you know, I mean, Troyzan, like, how great is Troyzan's game now?
What did Troyzan do tonight?
That's just it. He, like, Troyzan, everyone was like, oh, Troyzan, he's the braggadocious My Island guy. You know, he's always going to be flaunting his machismo everywhere.
He changed his game.
And he's been so chill and charming and is like in a great spot in his alliance and isn't like making waves or anything, but he's got his idol. You know, Troyzan's playing a great game. It's because we don't see him. We know that, you know, so I think that there's a lot of people who are playing like really great games.
But what I'm saying is fun for this is that the people that are in the minority, if anybody is going to have a chance to flip this, it's going to be these players.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You've got Zeke and Aubrey and Sari and Andrea.
Can they right the ship after this?
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny. I mean, I also was thinking that. It's like, you know, you've got this group. It was like Dalton said it about the swap a couple of weeks ago. Like, on the one hand, you have all the people who no one wanted to see again. And on the other hand, you have all the favorites. I think that was sort of the case here. But I think these people are becoming favorites.
Yes. Okay.
Who doesn't love Culpepper?
All right. You heard it here first. Steven Fishback is making a prediction. Your new Survivor favorites are here, everybody. At Steven Fishback on Twitter is calling it. Okay. Steven, who are you giving all of the fishies to?
Well, obviously Debbie.
Debbie gets one. For the second hour, you want to be specific? Does she get two?
Yeah. Yeah. Sari gets one.
Okay. Sari gets one for the first hour.
And Zeke gets one because in the first hour, I thought he was instrumental in changing the vote to Haley.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that a
read the blog though. You know, don't just come here for the fishies.
Yes. Read Steven's blog, of course. Follow
him. Give me the clicks.
Yeah.
You know,
at Steven Fishback. Of course, while you're at it, while you guys are in a good mood, you could subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And we always appreciate your feedback and star ratings. Of course, helps more people find the show. So thank you guys who have done that. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Okay. Double exit interview, Haley and Ozzy. Haley, Joel, Ozzy tomorrow, if we had somebody named Joel. Then we also will have Tyson on the podcast. And then also I'm going to check in with Natalie Anderson later this week as well.
Wait, Rob, when you're done promoting the week stuff, I've got something I want to
When you say week stuff, is that W-E-E-K?
W-I-Q-U-E.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I made a joke earlier about bad players and them going to the two-pronged alliance. I actually have always said that like good players, and I realized that maybe it would not be clear that I was being tongue in cheek. That I think that would be really good.
Are you getting negative feedback already? And this podcast hasn't even gone up yet.
No. But I realized I was in my head. I was like, people are going to think you're being serious, Fishback. And so I wanted to clarify that. Like, I think that building stronger and bigger alliances is got to be how we crawl out of this hole we've dug ourselves into.
So you think that what you did, the voting blocks, you screwed things up. We need to sort of right the wrong and start to make bigger alliances.
Yeah, if you can pull it off, you know, God bless. Well, anyway, that's it. And have a great week of week.
Yes, thank
W-I-Q-U-E.
You. Thank you so much. And, of course, to everybody who is looking for tickets to come out and see Stephen Fishback and I in Toronto, unfortunately, that show is a sold-out show in Toronto. But you could.
We're internationally known.
We're internationally known. But if you are a Big Brother Canada fan, you can come out. We're going to have another big fun show that Thursday night. We're going to have a Big Brother Canada eviction recap with myself, the LFC, and a number of Big Brother Canada house guests from the past. So you can check out tickets for that at robhasawebsite.com/Toronto BB Can. That's going to be for Thursday night, May 11th, up in the Sheridan Center in Toronto. All right, Stephen, we are closing in. Great 2-hour Survivor tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. And looking forward to getting back together next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Survivor Noah.